During the Great Depression of 1929, there was a family that was struggling, really having difficulty meeting daily needs. And so it was said in that little small town where they lived that the circus was coming to town. And the little boy in the family decided that he really wanted to go to the circus. And so he went to his dad and he said, "Dad, the circus is coming to town. Can I go to the circus?" And the father said, "I'm really sorry, son, but you know, we're barely able to put food on the table. We barely have enough money right now to provide for daily needs. But I'll tell you what, if you go out and in that the small town here and try to earn that money so that you can go, I'll be happy to let you go." And so the little boy really got at it. He started doing everything he could to try to raise enough money so that he could go to the circus. First circus he'd ever seen. He finally got almost enough to go to the circus, and he went to his dad and he said, "This is about how much I have." And he said, "Well, you're almost there." He said, "I'm going to take care of the rest of it for you." And so he was so excited he was able to go get his ticket to go to the circus and see the circus, the first circus he had ever seen. And so the day came, and you know he didn't sleep that night before. He was so excited, and he thought about all the things that he would see at the circus and all the animals that he would be able to see. And so the morning came, and he got up and ate breakfast really early so that he could get down there and go to the circus. He grabbed his ticket, and off he ran towards town. And as all circuses do, they have a parade before the circus, and everything comes down Main Street of the little town. And so the little boy stood on the sidewalk, and as the parade came down, there went the clowns, and more of the clowns were just having a good old time, and he couldn't believe how incredible it was. And then came some of the animals. There came the tiger, and the tiger was roaring, and it was just ferocious. You could tell how scared he was to see the tiger. And then came the giant elephant. You know, I mean, those elephants are just massive. And he got to see the elephants go down the street, and off they went. And just everything, the bearded lady, there was a bearded lady back then, I'm thinking, came down the street going to the circus. And there come another set of clowns. And so he reached in his pocket, and he had his ticket, and he kind of waved it a little bit, and the clown came over, and he gave it to the clown. The clown ran on down the street, and so finally everything that was part of the circus came down and went the street. And so the little boy just said, then he ran home back to see his mom and dad and tell them about what happened and how great it was. And his dad said, "Son, all you saw was the parade. You didn't get to see the circus." But he had already gave his ticket to the clown. This time of year is very busy, isn't it? I mean, there's so many things going on. There's shopping, there's last minute shopping. Some of you will be doing that maybe tomorrow evening, maybe before Kohl's is open 24 hours, don't worry. There's Christmas parties to go to. My goodness, have I ate so much these past couple weeks. And we have all these goodies sitting now on the counter where somebody's going to have to take care of them. There's wrapping. There's, how do we wrap this and all that? And there's cooking and there's decorating and there's more Christmas parties. And then you go, "Oh, I forgot about Uncle Mike. I better go out and grab his." And you go out tomorrow night and you grab that. And everybody is just busy and busy and busy. Churches are about the same sometimes, sad to say. There's so much going on that they get involved in all the things that are happening. And so there's cantatas and there's children's musicals and there's Sunday school Christmas parties, and then the staff has to have their Christmas party, and then we have a church-wide meal and everybody gets together and brings all their food and we eat, and then we go Christmas caroling and then say, "Hey, let's bake some cookies and let's take them down to the nursing home, or let's take them down to the mission and let's go serve food at the mission," and decorating and Christmas cards. Have you seen Christmas cards today? Some of them are incredible. Used to be just a little sweet saying. You open it up, it said Merry Christmas. You signed it. Now you have sounds. They'll play music for you. You can record your own. This, I've still got one from my dad. Merry Christmas, Willis, from your mom and dad. You open it up. That's what it says. And so they really got fancy. And some people are sending out letters. Here's what's happened all of 2018. We want you to know, Merry Christmas. We want to tell you about the gallbladder surgery that I had. Everything went well. You can still see the scar, my goodness. And all you hear about all of everything that happened and went on in 2018, and it's a two-page letter now that we get. And then the famous Christmas photos. Aren't those great? Everybody dresses up, cock your head just a little bit to the side, you know, and everybody has to dress the same. Well, I found my favorite Christmas card. You want to see it? Here it is. Doesn't that just describe joy to you right there? That's hilarious is what that is. If we're not careful, we can let the busyness of this holiday season just suck out all the joy. It starts to be like those kids right there. When will this all be over? And we seem to remove what is the one reason that we celebrate. We get so involved with the parade that's going down the street that we forget to go to the main event. But you know, we need to remember, joy to the world, the Lord has come. That's what it's all about. It's all about His birth. It's all about Him coming for us, coming for you, coming for me. It is the greatest announcement to ever take place. And so I want to share with you just a little bit out of Luke chapter 2. It'll be on the screen if you just want to follow along. Luke chapter 2, and we'll be reading verses 8 through 16. We'll just kind of take this and let's unpack it just a little bit today. That sounds good for Christmas, doesn't it? Let's tear off the package and let's look inside and see what we can find out about the greatest announcement ever. Luke chapter 2, begin reading in verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now let me tell you a little bit about shepherds, okay? Shepherd and shepherding was nothing fancy. There was no highfalutin shepherds. There was no dignitary shepherds. Really, this was the lowest on the social ladder. These were kind of the peasants. Their job was not something where they get off a week or two. They get vacation time. They get Christmas pay. They get a time to go and celebrate and go off with their families. Shepherding was 365 days a year. There were no breaks. You couldn't leave the sheep by themselves. You had to be there with them all the time. And what is even terrible about some of this is some shepherds had the night crew. I mean, you had to stay up all night. You had to take care, and if it was cold, you stayed outside. You watched the sheep. It was a routine. It was just kind of an average type of lifestyle. There was no frills. There was no fanciness about being a shepherd. Verse 9, and behold, or can I say suddenly, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. You got to get the picture here, okay? If you just read and zoom right by this, you're going to miss it. It's nighttime. It's very boring. They're watching the sheep. No one else is around. There's a few baas from the sheep that have woken up. But there's nothing really going on. It might be a little cold out, but it's quiet. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, an angel stands before them. Wouldn't that shock you a little bit? 364 days a year, I should say. It's business as usual. It's where are the sheep at, and let's check them, and let's make sure nothing's happening. And hey, wake up. Now I see you dozing off there. We've got to watch these guys. Now we've got to be careful not to. And everybody's kind of nodding off, and they're, this is so boring, but we have to do it. It's how we make a living, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, an angel appears. Not just somebody else that walks up saying, hey, good to see you guys out. It's just an angel. Never happened before. And it says the glory of the Lord shone round about them. One scholar said the glory of the Lord was like a moving circular glory. Kind of like, you ever seen a strobe light? If you remember those strobe light type? This was an angel of the Lord first appears, and now this moving circular glory strobe light stuff kind of starts flashing all around them. Would that scare you to death? I mean, that didn't happen. Well, it's never happened, by the way. They would be telling their story. Well, we've got to know then. And they were greatly afraid. Another version puts it, they were terrified. This wasn't a, wow, an angel appeared. Cool, what is all this stuff going on? This is really incredible. This was, I am simply terrified at what is happening. I'm scared to death at what has just happened. This angel stands before me. Strobe lights are going on. It's a circular motion of moving. The glory of the Lord is all around us. And terrified at what has just taken place. So isn't it amazing then that the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings or good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now it's incredible. Read this. I'm out. I'm about to fall asleep. He's telling the story to the shepherds that are on the morning crew the next day. I was about to doze off. It was really a long night that night. Things hadn't gone good the day, but here I am at night doing exactly what I'm supposed to do, doing it like I've always done it for 364 days this year. And I was scared to death. This angel appears and this glory of the Lord starts going all around us. It's like it's lighting up. There's strobe lights going on. It's incredible. I was scared to death. And then the angel says to me, don't be afraid, because I've got some good news for you. Matter of fact, I've got some incredible news, and the news I'm going to tell you is going to be something that is going to bring you great joy. But not just for you, shepherds, not just for you guys on the night crew. I've got good news that's going to give you great joy, and it's going to be for everyone. But I'm starting with you and telling you the story. Verse 11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now this perked their interest. This is something that they've been waiting for. This is the long-awaited Messiah. We've talked about it. We've prayed about it. We've heard about it. We're not very able to be at the temple very much. We're out here watching these sheep. But we hear all about it. We know that there is someone coming. A king is coming. The Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah is coming. And you're telling me that he's here. A Savior, Christ, the Messiah, has come. And you're telling us. And so the angel gives him the details in verse 12. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there's our second suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Okay, I want you to get the picture again, because this is astounding. Let me back up just a little bit. I'm sitting here. Actually, I'm not supposed to be sitting, but I hope the main shepherd doesn't see me a little bit, because I'm going to sit down a little bit while I'm watching these sheep. And I start to doze, and an angel appears, and I jump up, and the glory of the Lord starts going all around, and strobe lights are going on, and I start to run. Well, I can't run. I've got to watch the sheep, and what's going to happen? I don't know what I'm going to do. Don't be afraid. Matter of fact, I've got good news for you. It's going to be good news. It's going to give you great joy, and it's not for you. It's just for everybody. It's for all people. The Messiah has come. And if that isn't enough, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude, one commentary said, an uncountable number. You ever looked up and just tried to count the stars? Can't do it. You lose track, because there's, where was I trying? There was an uncountable number of angels on that hillside. As many as the stars. Someone said, every angel ever created and ever existing was there on that hillside. This was big news. A shepherd, alone in the field, watching over his sheep, nodding off, and now the greatest announcement to ever take place. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. You ever been so excited that you couldn't wait to sell somebody something? You ever been so excited that I just can't wait. I can't, and I'm on a hold off. I know that I want to wait, but I'm going to tell. I've got somebody to tell. Now they're doing it on Facebook, and they're now on social media. They'll announce the baby and who, if it's going to be a boy or girl. You seen all those things they do? I mean, they're getting fancy on stuff there. They just can't wait for that big announcement and something's going to pop out of the box, or they got all these different ways they're doing that now. Pink or blue, what's it going to be? It's as if, here's the picture, here's an angel. Don't be afraid. And it's as if there's all these angels behind. They're behind the curtain, okay? And it says, and suddenly, and the curtain opened, and bang, out comes an uncountable number of angels to pronounce, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And let's finish the story in verse 15. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. We've got to be very careful not to miss the message of Christmas. There's some time in this hectic time of the year that we just need to slow down and refocus on the greatest announcement that ever took place. So three things I'd like to just to remember about the greatest announcement. First thing I want you to remember is simply this. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. These were the first words that the angel said to the shepherds. And they say it today, I believe, to you and to me. Willis, don't be afraid. Church, don't be afraid. Joan, don't be afraid. Sherry, don't be afraid. Jerry, don't be afraid, guys. Because if we're not careful, we can live a life full of fear. Not knowing what's going to happen, not knowing what could happen, if it will, if it won't. Because the world is such a fearful place today. I mean, it's even scary sometimes just to walk out your front door, to drive down the street, to go into town. There's terrorism, there's wars, there's rumors of wars, there's burglaries, murders, theft, divorce, substance abuse, death. You talk about that all day. That's all you see when you turn on the TV or when you read your app or open up your phone. And it seems there's little safety in the world today. Well, there's sometimes we just need to let go of our fears. And not just during the holiday season, not just during this time of Christmas that we celebrate, but every day we need to let go of our fears. Not because it's Christmas, but simply because of the first six letters in the word Christmas. C-H-R-I-S-T. We can let go of our fears. We can be at peace if we simply let Christ be our focus. Be the one that all of our attention, all of our effort, all of our praise goes to. Maybe you've heard of Corrie Ten Boom. She was the one who survived a Nazi prison camp. She lost her family and she went through some terrible and really indescribable suffering while she was in that prison camp. When she was interviewed, she was asked this question: how is your life not full of fear and tears? And she said, I've decided for it not to be. And she made this statement: if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. Wouldn't it be nice, even in this hectic time, even in this crazy, mean world that we live in, just to simply rest, to be at peace? Maybe your focus is on the wrong thing. If you're focused on the world, I promise you, you're going to be distressed. You're going to have fear every single day. If you're going to look within and think that you can take care of it yourself and I'll do it my way and the way I think it ought to be done, you're going to be depressed. But if you say, Christ, it's not my will, but it's thy will, and your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you will live a life that has peace, even though everything around you is in unrest. You can find peace. So don't be afraid. He wants you to not be afraid, to live a life today that is simply at rest in Him. The next thing I want you to remember is, I bring you good news. I've got some good news for you today. Would you like some good news? Because if you turn on the news, if you read the paper, if you check your smartphone, you can find yourself overwhelmed with all of the bad things going on. The government has shut down. Did you know that? And some people are just overwhelmed with everything that's going on. And you could live a life that's depressed, that's worried, that's frightened, that sometimes makes you, as the shepherd, terrified. So you need some good news today. Can I tell you this? God loves you today. He really does. And there's never been a time that He hasn't loved you. And there'll never be a time that He doesn't love you. He loves you just like you are, all of your quirks, all of your shortcomings, all of your downfalls. He loves you just like you are. And He doesn't say, you better change or I'm not going to love you, or you better straighten up or I'm not going to love you. He simply just says this: I love you. And he loves us so, I think he loves us more than we can ever understand. It's just simply an unconditional love that says, no matter what, I love you. And I want to tell you how much I love you. I love you this much. And he died on a cross for us. And he gave his life and his blood for each and every one. And I need you to know this. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. You think it's bad, and it is. But he has not lost control. Greater is he that's in us than he that is in this world. And you want something else? You want some more good news today? That he loves you, that he gave his life for you, that he is greater than anything that you'll ever face, and he says this, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll never abandon you, I'll never desert you, I'll never turn my back on you and decide you're good for nothing. I'll always be there for you, no matter what. Even when you mess up, even when you fail, even when you sin, I'll be there. I've got some good news for you. I don't want you to be afraid. Simply rest in me. Rest in Christ. Find your strength in me. And let me give you some good news. I love you. I gave my life for you. I want to be the greatest thing that you'll ever have in your life. And I can be if you'll allow me. And I'll never leave you. But the third thing I want you to remember is, born today for you, a Savior, Christ the Lord. Max Lucado puts it this way, he was born for you and I, he died for you and I, and he's alive today for you and I. The long-awaited Messiah has come, and he has come for each and every one of us. It's the greatest announcement to ever take place. And it started on a hillside to some very lowly, normal, average, run-of-the-mill, actually low on the totem pole shepherds. And they were the first ones to get the news. The good news that brought them great joy because they have been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for the Messiah. And he came. And he has come for you today. So don't be afraid. Because I bring you good news. Your Savior, who is Christ the Lord, is born for you, has died for you, and now wants to live in you. What a great announcement. So the question is, what do we do with it? What do we do with the greatest announcement that ever took place? Do we read it just at this time of the year and then put it on the shelf and bring it back out again? I think we just need to simply say yes. Yes, Lord. Yes to whatever. Lord, whatever it is you have for me, the answer is yes. Let me think about that a little bit. I don't know. Right now, maybe a little later. No, Lord, whatever it is, whatever you have for me, the answer is yes. I'm ready. I'm willing. I am available. The answer is yes. Are you ready to say yes? Lord, I'm ready to say yes And I open up my heart to you today. I'm here. And whatever it is that you have for me, Lord, I'm ready. It was the annual Christmas play at Cheney Elementary School. And the third, fourth, and the fifth grade kids were practicing for their big Christmas play. Everyone had a part to play. Everyone was given some type of part. There were sheep. There were goats. Somebody played Mary. Somebody played Joseph. Somebody played the shepherds. Somebody played the wise men. There were angels. There were everybody had a part. There was one kid, his name was Sidney. Sidney was kind of he was really a quiet kid. He kind of stayed back. He wasn't really outspoken, outgoing. He was kind of shy, kind of waited in the corner. Didn't say very much. And so the teacher thought, well, really the best part for Sidney might be the innkeeper. He would only have one line to remember. And if he said that one line during the play, everything would be good. And so for weeks, Sidney practiced his line. There's no room. There's no room. The teacher had him wear a cardboard box that had a door on the front of it and painted on the front. And matter of fact, they even put on the inside of the cardboard box his line. There is no room. There is no room. So that Sidney wouldn't forget it. The night for the play finally came. Everybody from the town came and gathered at Cheney Elementary, just so that they could see all of the kids perform their Christmas play. Everybody was in their place. The Christmas play had just started. And at the right time, down the middle aisle, came Mary and Joseph as they begin their journey to Bethlehem. And once in Bethlehem, at the right time, the angels began singing. O little town of Bethlehem, the star was shining bright up above the stage. And Mary and Joseph made it to the front, right at the front of the stage. There was a long, silent pause. Sidney, come on, Sidney. Everybody's hoping Sidney makes his line. There is no room. Come on, Sidney, there is. And so suddenly from the back of the stage, someone whispered, Sidney! Sidney! Still a long pause. And then suddenly there was a voice from behind the curtain, as loud as they could. There is no room! There is no room! Mary and Joseph knew that was their cue, and so they turned to leave, and suddenly Sidney spoke up. No! Don't leave! Don't leave! I'll find you a place. I'll find you a place. How can we not love the hero of the Christmas story at Cheney Elementary? But how many of us do stand there and say, there's no room. There's no room. I mean, I've got so much going on. There's so many things happening in my life. Or how many of us are like Sidney? Don't leave. Don't leave. I'll find room. The answer is yes. Whatever, Lord. I'll do it. I'll do it. Just don't leave. I'll find room. Will you bow your heads? I pray that you don't turn him away. Because I know this. If you say yes, he will change your life. And you won't even be able to imagine what he can do for you. If you just simply say yes. Say yes to Jesus. Heavenly Father, how can we ever say thank you enough for sending your son. How can we ever say thank you for letting him be born and living among us and for giving his life and for shedding his blood for each and every one of us? I think the only way we can say thank you, Lord, is to now say yes to whatever it is you have for us, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to not do, however you want me to live my life every single day, the answer is yes. And I pray that each and every one in this room today will say yes to you. Whatever it is, Lord, today we say yes. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please? Maybe you need to come and share your yes with the Lord today. Maybe you just need to say, all right, Lord, whatever it is, the answer is yes. Maybe you need to spend some time alone. Or maybe you need to come down and pray with someone. Whatever it is, would you do it at this time?